Okay, so are you ready to go on a little adventure with me today?
Always up for an adventure.
All right, excellent. The Church of Tinkerbell podcast.
Faith, imagination, the power of belief.
Love and acceptance to make the world a better place.
What would happen if we all just tried to see the world through the eyes of a child again, even for a moment?
It's a beautiful thought, isn't it?
It is.
The Church of Tinkerbell.
The Church of Tinkerbell. All right, I'm intrigued. Have you ever come across that idea that certain identities, maybe especially queer identities, are somehow new?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like a modern trend or, you know, something that disrupts the way things always were.
Mm-hmm. It's a really common perception, isn't it?
It is. But what if that whole idea of newness, what if that's the modern thing?
That's a great way to put it. And it's exactly what our source material digs into.
Yeah.
It's called The Queer Prophets Were Always Here, How History, Myth, and Magic Have Always Carried Queer Voices, and Why It's Time We Listen.
Mm.
It's from the Church of Tinkerbell.
Right.
And it basically argues that seeing these identities as just modern, that's a huge misreading of, well, pretty much all of human history.
Yeah, absolutely. So our mission today for this deep dive is to kind of unpack that, to look at how way before the words we use now, before pride parades, before all that, there were people living their truth. And often, not just existing, but like revered, holding sacred roles.
Exactly. And how that legacy, it actually still resonates. It's still here.
So we're going to trace some of those threads, some surprising ones woven right into history. And as always, we're just exploring the ideas in the source here, bringing you the key insights, not necessarily endorsing every viewpoint, but really looking at the arguments presented.
Sounds good. Where do we start?
Well, the core idea, the big statement from the source is the queer prophets were always here.
Simple. But yeah, profound.
It states they existed long before the word queer existed, long before, you know, rights declarations or anything like that.
That phrase, always here.
Yeah.
It's powerful. But does the source mean, like, they were always accepted? Or was it more complicated?
That's a really important question. And no, the source is clear. It wasn't some kind of golden age of universal acceptance. Not at all.
What?
Some were loved, sure. But it says many were feared. And sadly, a lot were just erased, written out of the history books.
Right. Feared or erased. That sounds more familiar. I'm pretty
sure. But despite that, the source really emphasizes they danced, they painted, they worked, they played, they resisted, they existed.
They existed. Even against the odds.
Exactly. And here's where it connects directly to you, listening. It says, and their legacy is not lost, it's in you.
Wow. Okay, that hits differently. Their legacy is in you.
Mm-hmm. And that idea, it really leads into the historical context, doesn't it? The source points out that across so many different cultures, queer and gender diverse people actually held sacred roles for millennia.
Right. Often revered, it says. Not just shamed or hidden away, which is kind of the narrative we often get.
Totally the opposite in many cases.
Absolutely. And the source gives some really concrete examples, which helps make it real. Like two-spirit people in many indigenous nations.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Well, they weren't seen as less than. They were often considered gifted and balanced. Like holding both masculine and feminine wisdom was a strength, a spiritual asset.
So respected roles. Like healers or leaders.
Exactly. Healers, storytellers, people who led ceremonies, central figures, you know, which is just so different from how colonial powers later viewed them.
It really is. And it wasn't just there. The source mentions the hijras in South Asia, too.
Mm-hmm. Holding spiritual power, performing blessings at weddings, at births, really important cultural roles, often seen as having a kind of divine connection.
And even further back, ancient Mesopotamia.
Yeah, the Gala priests, described as effeminate and assigned male at birth, serving the goddess Inanna. Their identity was directly linked to their religious function.
Wow. And then you have Greece and Rome.
Sure. Plenty of records there in myths and history showing diverse sexualities and gender expressions, even right up into the leadership. It wasn't hidden.
And it wasn't just Europe and Asia either. The source makes a point about pre-colonial Africa.
Right, where LGBTQIA plus people often had accepted, even honored positions. That is, until colonial religions came in and basically imposed this idea that it was unnatural.
So when you pull all these examples together, it's not just isolated incidents.
No, not at all. The source calls them threads in the human fabric.
Threads that colonization and empire tried really hard to cut.
Yeah, tried to sever them, erase them. But the source argues they could not kill the truth.
And that truth is,
we have always existed. We have always mattered. Simple as that.
That really sets the stage for thinking differently about, well, about prophets.
Totally. The source pushes us to redefine what a prophet even is. It's not just the stereotype, you know, the guy with the beard and the scrolls.
Right. It says prophecy is not limited to scripture.
So what is a prophet then, according to this view?
They're defined as truth speakers, boundary breakers, mirror holders, people who reveal what others are too afraid to face.
Okay, I like that. Truth seekers, boundary breakers, mirror holders. That opens things up.
It does. And when you use that definition, you start seeing queer prophets all around us right now. People embodying those qualities.
Ah, okay. So modern examples.
Exactly. Like the drag queen who turns shame into beauty, takes societal judgment and flips it into art, into power.
Yeah, okay. I see that. Or the trans elder who mentors with fierce love, guiding younger people.
Mm-hmm. Or think about the non-binary teen who just refuses to dim their light in a world pushing them to conform. That's bravery. That's truth speaking.
Definitely. And the asexual poet who redefines intimacy, challenging norms about what connection means.
Or the intersex activist who stands up and declares their body holy, right? Claiming their own sacredness against maybe medical pressure or social ignorance.
And even, it says, the lovers who just survive, who find joy and connection in a world built to erase them. Their existence itself is resistance.
Yeah. The source calls each one a sermon, each one a sacred disruption.
A sacred disruption. I like that phrase.
Then it connects it right back to the listener again. If you have ever claimed your truth in a world that called it unacceptable, you too are a prophet.
Oh, okay. That's powerful. Making prophecy personal, accessible.
It really is. And that flows perfectly into this idea from the Church of Tinkerbell itself that prophecy doesn't require a pulpit.
Right. It doesn't need that formal setting.
It could be something totally unexpected. The source says it might flutter in on wings wreathed in sparkles and giggles.
Okay, very Tinkerbell.
Totally. Or it could be simpler. It could be the voice of a friend who finally says, you're allowed to be who you are.
Mm-hmm. That moment of acceptance, of validation, that can feel prophetic.
Or even maybe the most powerful kind is when it rises in your own chest, when you realize, they were wrong about me. I am not a problem to solve. I am a story unfolding.
Oh, yeah. That internal shift, recognizing your own worth, your own narrative, that's huge.
And Tinkerbell herself is presented as this sort of patron saint of the misfit.
No, so.
Described as fiercely emotional, full of light and jealousy and loyalty and play, unapologetic, you know, seen as too much by some people.
And just enough by the right ones. Yeah, I get that.
Right. So the source asks, what is queerness if not the magic of truth wrapped in defiance? Using Tinkerbell as the sort of glittering symbol of that.
Magic? Truth, defiance.
Mm.
Okay. And this defiance, this reclaiming of truth, it connects to pride.
Yeah. The source frames Pride Month specifically as more than just a party. It calls it a resurrection.
A resurrection.
Of what?
Of names they tried to forget. Of the languages they tried to silence.
No.
Of the colors they tried to bleach out of us. Of the bodies they tried to rewrite. It's about bringing back what was suppressed.
That gives pride a whole different weight, doesn't it? A deeper historical connection.
It does. And it suggests that every queer person alive today is an answered prayer someone dared to whisper.
An answered prayer. That's beautiful. It acknowledges the struggle of those who came before.
Mm-hmm. And it admits, look, we don't always know their names. Sometimes the stories were just destroyed or maybe hidden in coded language. We can't always recover the specifics.
Right, the erasure was real.
But the source insists their spark survived in us, in people living today. And now, it's our turn to be the keepers of that flame.
Taking on that legacy, carrying it forward. Exactly. So, wrapping up this main part, the source gives this almost blessing, saying to you, the listener, your queerness is not new. It is ancient. It is sacred. It is a continuation of a radiant lineage of rebels and mystics and visionaries.
Ancient, sacred, a continuation. That's a powerful reframing.
And it ends with that simple, strong statement again. The queer prophets were always here, and now so are you.
So stepping back, what's really striking is how this whole perspective just completely flips the script on, you know, what we think of as new versus old.
Right. It argues these identities, which feel very contemporary in some ways, actually have these incredibly deep historical and even spiritual roots.
Yeah, it's not just about digging up old facts. It's about seeing yourself, maybe, as part of this long, unbroken line, an ancient, sacred thing that's always been around.
So as we finish up, maybe something for you to think about is this. How does seeing things this way, recognizing this ancient lineage, maybe change how you understand your own identity? Or resistance? Or even just the small everyday acts of being true to yourself?
Mm-hmm. And maybe where do you start to see that prophecy now in those unexpected places, the perhaps glittering spots in your own life, your own world?
It's definitely an encouragement to keep looking, keep listening for those unforgotten voices.
Yeah, and to think about where you fit into that ongoing story. It's a story that's still being written. Thanks for going on this little adventure with me today.
Anytime.
And listener, keep sprinkling that fairy dust, all right? We'll see you next time.